I'll use this microphone. I'm a little bit short. Can you hear me, y'all? Praise God. Isn't a good feeling in here in the house of the Lord this morning? It's wonderful. And I was just thinking as I look around at all the beauty and the things that you've prepared for God to come. He's coming here anxiously to meet with us. What made it really beautiful is when we all got in here together and started worshiping him. You may be seated. We haven't visited very much in this area of the world, so I didn't know my geography very well. So I thought maybe I'd give you a little geography lesson this morning about where in the world we were in Pakistan. And we have a picture of a globe that kind of lets you know exactly where we were. 10,000 miles away around the world to the country of Pakistan. And it was a long ways away from America, let me tell you. And there's also a map of Pakistan. We narrow down right into a map that shows you that we are right next to Afghanistan. That's been in the news lately. You know a little bit about Afghanistan. And then there's China and India surrounding all of Pakistan. And we do have a book available telling a little bit about the miracles that we experienced in Pakistan. And it kind of explains and lets you know where we were at and what God was doing. That's the only reason we wrote the book, is for the glory of God. And then there's a picture, I don't know if we have them, of the young couple there. Well, what's, yeah, that couple right there. Young people that we arrived in Pakistan in October the 3rd, 1973. With three little children, our baby in our arms. And we landed in a foreign country. It was almost like another universe. We had no idea what to expect, what God had in store for us. It was a new language, a new new culture, and so many things that we really weren't prepared for. But God called us to go to Pakistan, and we took our family there. And when we arrived, this is the reason we went, because Jesus said in Mark, let me get the right verse here, Mark 15, go into all the world and teach the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's why we went. Just one little word Jesus said to us was go into all the world. Now for you, the go may mean to your neighbor. Go may mean to your clerk at the shop. It doesn't have to mean go overseas, but to us, that go meant to go overseas. And we arrived in Pakistan. We were thrilled that it was just like the book of Acts, the hunger for the gospel. And they wanted to hear about Acts 2:38. And we saw miracles, and we saw signs and wonders. We saw thousands received the Holy Ghost. One time I was in a meeting and I walked through the crowd. You know, sometimes here we like to help people in the altar, and I think that's wonderful. But God proved to me over there, I don't need your help. I'm just going to pour my spirit out here and there. And it was quite amazing. And I've seen my husband baptized in the canal, and there were about 100 people lined up to be baptized. And after he baptized about 50, he called me over to the edge of the bank, and he said, we're going to have to sing some songs. I need to rest before I baptize the rest. But 100 were baptized that day in Jesus' name, right in the river, right in the canal. And so this is what made going to Pakistan very easy for us. Now, we did do a sacrifice. And people say, oh, you sacrificed a lot. We never felt like that. We were just busy doing the will of God. And the only thing we sacrificed was our parents. We left them behind and went and took their grandchildren 10,000 miles away. But we were busy working for God. And God did so many marvelous things. And I'll just tell you one story that's in the book that we have available at the back. It was about a baby. And we were in a huge crusade, and there were about 8,000 people in that meeting, and it was in a shamiana in a tent, and people were just pressing to the front to have someone touch them in Jesus' name to get a healing. They had so many needs, and so the crowd was quite scary to me. I was brand new to that country. And so I came up and stood right beside my husband. And I knew that there was an exit behind the tent that I could get out of there quickly if I needed to. But so in all this masses of people, if you see them in Afghanistan in different news, when you see a lot of people together, if you're there, it's a very scary situation because you don't know what might could happen. And so I noticed at the back there was a commotion going on, and I thought, oh, what? I wonder what's happening. I hope everything's going to work out all right. The men were praying for people to be healed, and as they left the prayer line, they left their crutches, and they stacked the wheelchairs and crutches in the corner as they left healed by the power of God. And so as I was watching this commotion in the back, it was a couple with a small baby. And they lifted the baby up because they knew they were never going to get down here to the pastor to be prayed for. And they passed the baby over the heads of the people. You know, here it comes. They carefully passed it on until the baby came right down here. And I was in my safe spot right beside my husband. And as they reached out their hands and prayed for that baby, now, I do not know the exact condition or disease, what was going on, but the eyes were not focusing. There was very erratic movement in the eyes, so I don't know if it was a brain issue or if it was a sight issue. I don't know what it was, but as that baby was touched, in Jesus' name, I witnessed those eyes stop and focus. That was my eyewitness miracle, my first miracle that I have actually seen with my own eyes. And so I thought, well, Lord, I don't know what you did here. I know you did something wonderful, but I wish I knew what really happened. And with this masses of people, there's going to be no way that I can find those people after service. And so when they passed the baby back to the parents, and the parents looked in the baby's eyes, they threw the baby right up in the air. Of course, they caught her with a big hug. And that was my confirmation. The parents said, I have seen a miracle here today. God has healed my baby. And you know, I don't believe that God loved that Pakistani baby more than he loves any of us right here. And he's willing and able to do a great miracle in your life, because he's no respecter of persons. He's going to do today what he's done always. He hasn't run out of miracles, and he never, never will. And I just believe today, as we prepare our hearts, as the word goes forth and prepare our minds, that whatever you have need, Pakistanis have very simple faith, simple, simple faith. And as they come with that faith and they are touched in the name of Jesus, miracles happen. And I've seen so many miracles. So I've been blessed to be a missionary in Pakistan and the country of Sri Lanka, where we've seen so much demon possession. But you know, there's power in the name of Jesus, and the devil can't stay anywhere that Jesus' name is proclaimed. So we thank you for allowing us to be here today and sharing our ministry with you. And I hope that your faith rises and you receive your miracle today.
Be careful. Aaj subah ko yahan hona main bahut khushi hui. We're so happy to be here today, and we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is anybody excited? Is anybody excited? This is the day the Lord hath made. Yesu kiname fataha, there's victory in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're so honored to be here. Thank you, Brother Schumacher, Sister Schumacher, and this church for allowing us to come. I did not come today with a miracle in my pocket. I cannot give to you a miracle, and the pastor cannot give to you a miracle. There's nobody here that can give you a miracle. There's only one that's able to do that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, that presence of the Lord that we felt here in this place. So we have come with high expectation. Our brother mentioned about being in a state of anticipation. I fully believe that God is going to do a great work in this place today. The Bible speaks about exercising your faith, so perhaps that's what we'll try to do for a while, is help you to exercise your faith. Sometimes we think if we get a right preacher, we get a certain evangelist to come, that I will get my miracle. I want to ask you this morning, what's wrong with your faith? If you receive a miracle today, it's going to be because of your faith. As it is, as your faith is, so be it unto you. We all know what happens when we don't exercise, right? We get lazy. We get weak. We get overweight. Well, when we don't exercise our faith, spiritually speaking, we become weak Christians and ineffective. Our God is wanting to do a great work, but we must stretch out of our comfort zone of what we have come to this service expecting. We must move into the operation of God's power. Sometimes we pray and nothing happens, but we must keep praying. We must keep expecting it to happen. I am not the one doing the healing. The Lord is the one that is doing the healing. I have been commanded to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I will obey the Lord, and I will pray for everyone that has a need. But it is the Lord that will do the healing. I'm going to believe that it is going to happen every time. These signs shall follow them that believe. As you exercise your faith becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. We must stretch our faith. We must believe that God will do what His Word says. Jesus said, "With God, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." All things. Matthew chapter 8, we have the centurion's servant that is dying. They send for Jesus. Jesus is making his way to the centurion's home when he received a message saying, "Don't come any further because I am unworthy for you to come under my roof. But I believe that if you will just speak the word, my servant will be healed." And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "I have never seen such great faith. I have not found faith like this. No, not in Israel." Mark chapter 11, "What things soever you desire when you pray, believe." Everybody say believe. "That ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Ye shall have them. How many believe the word of God? Do you really, really believe the word of God? Do you really believe that what the Bible says is right, that it is true, that what Jesus said here is absolutely the truth? When you pray, if you will believe, he says, ye shall have them. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thank you, Pastor, for leading us this morning into this worship. Praise God. I felt the presence of the Lord in a very special way. There's a very interesting scripture found in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. "The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. The word is in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith. So this morning, what we are going to do here, we're going to speak healing. We are going to speak deliverance. We must understand that we are under the authority of God's word. This is the final authority right here. That is God's word. We must believe God's word, and we must act on his word. If God says it, then it is true. Shout, everybody. If God says it, it is true. If God's word says, by his stripes I am healed, then I am healed. If God has promised to supply all of your needs, then he will. We must always act accordingly. The Bible says God watches over his word to perform it. So faith says, I have it now. Faith says, it is mine. Faith says, it is written. Our faith, real faith, rests entirely on thus saith God's word. So faith means that we believe that God has already done what we ask him to do. That's faith. We believe that God has already done what we ask him to do even before we see it happen. If you have to see it to believe it, that's not faith. If you have to feel it to believe it, that is not faith. Pastor, we're kind of running out of people that will believe God for a miracle before it happens. When it happens, we all shout. We smile. We get happy about that. How about believing God this morning for a miracle before you see it happen? That is real faith. I say that is faith. We must believe it is done, not because we see it done, but because God's word says it is done. So what is a miracle anyhow? And do miracles happen today? Is God still working miracles today? I've got good news. The miracle worker is very active. He's doing his work. He's doing what he knows to do. And he can do it here today. There are many words in scripture that speak about miracles. For example, when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that is a miracle. In fact, that's the greatest miracle of all, when somebody receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 5 speaks about the gift of grace. We have access into God's grace through faith. The grace of God does everything for us in our lives. When you repented of your sins, God forgave you of your sins. That is a great miracle. When you are baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and your sins are remitted, washed away, that is a great miracle. There's healing because of the grace of God. There's material needs that are provided by his grace. There are answered prayers by grace. There's protection by grace. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is by grace. Salvation is by grace, the grace of God. You cannot merit it. You cannot earn it. You cannot work for it. It is already provided. Everything is provided by the grace of Almighty God. But faith. Faith is the hand that reaches in to that which is provided by grace. The price has been paid. Just reach your hand in by faith this morning and receive what has already been paid for by his grace. So here's my message to you this morning. I am a miracle, and you are a miracle. You are a miracle. I am a miracle. Turn to your neighbor there and say, you are a miracle. You are a miracle. I am a miracle. The Bible says that we have been given a measure of faith. So it is important for us to develop that faith and strengthen that faith by feeding upon the word of God. The word is in your mouth. That is the word of faith that we preach. So we speak the word. We speak the word. We speak the word. Sickness don't stand a chance in the face of the name of Jesus. Chains and bondage and addictions cannot stand against the name of Jesus Christ. Deliverance from demon power cannot stand against the name of Jesus. There's forgiveness. There's healing. There's safety in the name of Jesus. Pakistan seems like another world away. We spent 18 years there. We arrived in 1973, as my wife mentioned. We didn't have churches. We didn't have preachers. And we didn't have people. We didn't have any money. But we had something that was greater than anything else. And that is the power of prayer. The power of the name of Jesus. As we begin to pray with the people, pray for the sick, we begin to witness miracle after miracle after miracle. I used to keep a diary, a record. Every day we were witnessing miracles after miracles after miracles. It was a common thing to see in every service people being healed. Lame people, crippled people throwing their sticks down and walking away. Blinded eyes being instantly open. Is God more concerned about Pakistan than he is Racine? I say, no, he is not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you. He is interested. He is concerned about you. There are so many miracles mentioned in the Bible. We all know that. The New Testament is full of the miracles of Jesus Christ. Healing blinded eyes, the crippled, those that had issues in their lives, and so on. Is anybody interested in a modern day miracle? A modern day miracle. We read about it in the Bible and we rejoice. We thank God for it. But I believe that we can witness miracles here today. Not because I'm here or my wife is here, but because he is here. Anything that we say this morning, the book that we have, it's all for the glory of Jesus Christ. He is the only one that deserves the praise. I am not a miracle worker. In fact, I was very hesitant to even use that term because some people have abused the term, I guess. And there's no miracle workers here. Except Jesus Christ. I am not a miracle worker, but our God is able. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're lifting up the name of Jesus. We're glorifying his name. And I believe that if you will exercise your faith this morning, you will see great things happen in your life. Recently, we're in Jacksonville, North Carolina. One of the brothers in the church there had a big tumor on his leg. It was 16 inches long. He was full of cancer, and I remember as he walked into the service, and I knew him personally, I called him by name. I said, Mike, this is your day to receive your miracle. As prayer was made for this good man, God instantly healed him of that tumor and that cancer. Our God is able. He is a great God. We have been in Michigan for the last 2 months or so. We witnessed so many miracles there in those services. One lady was going in within a week or so to get her knee operated on. It was bone on bone, according to what she said. But prayer was made. And when she went to the doctor to get it operated on, there was no need for operation. She had been healed in that service. There was a man that went through the prayer line there. And the church was telling me, and the people were all concerned, the pastor was concerned. This brother was going in within 2 weeks for a liver transplant. And they were very worried about him. I just got word, I got a call from the pastor just a few days ago. He said, you remember the man that needed the liver transplant? While he went in to get the liver transplant, they checked him out, said, you don't need a liver transplant, and they took him off the donor list. That is our God. I say our God is able to do that. Praise God. Just recently right here in West Bend, Wisconsin, there was a lady that had heart problems, and prayer was made. She's testifying that God has healed her of heart disease. We could go on and on and on. It's happening. I'm sure that practically everybody here could testify of some time in your life or your experience, you have received a miracle from God. One of the great miracles that I think about is the church in the country of Pakistan. Pakistan is a 98% Muslim, as you know, very radical Islam. But in the face of radical Islam, God is raising up a great church. There's a revival that's sweeping across the land. The latest figures that I received from Pakistan statistics was that they now estimate 165,000 constituents in the United Pentecostal Church in Pakistan. That is a miracle. That is a great miracle. Praise God. And revival continues. Some years ago, my wife and I, we were in our church there in the city of Lahore. It was during the week. And we were surprised. There was a big black limousine pulled up in front of our church building. And a man got out of that limousine. He had a uniform on. We found out later he was a brigadier general, whatever that's supposed to mean. It sounds pretty important to me. We had a man in our church. We call him Captain Zaman. He was a captain in the Pakistan military. Captain Zaman witnessed to this brigadier general. This good man, this general, his little daughter had polio and was not able to walk. So Captain Zaman told the general, said, if you'll take your little girl to that church over there, and if they pray for her in the name of Jesus, she'll be healed. So here he comes with his little girl in his arms, expecting a miracle. We prayed for her, and they left. We didn't hear much or anything, in fact, until about 2 weeks later, the same limousine pulls up in front of our church. It was a midweek day, and they come to the door. But this time, instead of carrying the little girl, she's walking along beside him, holding his hand. They came to the door of the church. My wife was standing at the altar, and she said, come here, honey. And the little girl runs up the aisle and embraces my wife. God had healed that little girl of polio. I was preaching a crusade in the city of Quetta. This was before we had a church there. And Quetta is in Balochistan. It's very close to the border with Iran. Now Quetta has been taken over by Al-Qaeda. It's their headquarters in Pakistan. But in those days, we were having church, and we had no church building, so we would have church out on the street. And I was praying for people getting the Holy Ghost. We baptized a few people. Sometime later, I was invited to go back to that city to preach a crusade in the large Methodist church. And in that crusade, there was a man that come up to me, a Muslim, and he began to tell me the story. He said, I met you some weeks ago out on the street, and you were praying with people, and you prayed for my little girl. She had cerebral palsy. He said, I have traveled 600 miles because I heard you were here, and I have come to thank you because my daughter is completely healed of cerebral palsy, completely. To God be the glory. I was preaching a crusade in the city of Lahore, and in those days, we could put up a speaker, actually put up a loudspeaker on the top of our building, and our services, we could broadcast them out over the whole community, over the whole area. So I was preaching there in Lahore, and people that were non-Christians, they could sit in their house Many times it would not come to our church, but they could hear our preaching and could hear our message over this loudspeaker. So the second night of the crusade there was a man that come up to me just before the service. He was a Muslim. And he said, "I am very, very confused." He said, "I don't know how to say this." He said, "I don't know what happened." He said, "It's very strange to me." But he said, "Last night, while you were preaching from the Holy Bible, we were sitting in our home and we were listening to the service. And suddenly, my two sons, they were both born deaf. And suddenly, they both began to hear perfectly as the word of God was being preached." I'm telling you, there's power in the word. I say there's power in the word. Praise God. Some years ago, you might remember, we had a tsunami in Asia. It was a terrible tsunami. It was one of the largest ever in history. That huge wall of water, 138 feet high, was moving across the ocean at the speed of over 100 miles per hour. They said it was about the speed of a jet plane. As it moved across the ocean and it swept into Sri Lanka. We were doing missionary work in Sri Lanka for 12 years. And it struck that beautiful island of Sri Lanka, and within minutes, they estimated 44,000 people lost their lives. It was horrible. The devastation from that tsunami was unbelievable. We had some of our people living in the area where the tsunami struck the island. So we went searching for them, looking for them, trying to find them, wondering if they were okay. We drove many, many miles. The lady that cooked for us in our Bible school there, a year before she was a Hindu, but now she's baptized in Jesus' name. She's filled with the Holy Ghost. And she was standing in her kitchen at the time the tsunami struck the island. People were screaming at her and shouting and saying, "Run, get out, run as fast as you can." But she said, "I stood in my kitchen and I began to call on that name, Jesus. And when I called on that name, Jesus," she said, "Jesus walked into my house." This was the report she gave to some of the ladies there. It was a miracle what happened. That huge wall of water came right up to her house, and it stopped right there. It went this way, and it went this way. As we drove into that area, all the houses in the area were gone, nothing but concrete slabs. But this little house was standing there all by itself. Television networks from all over the world came, and they were taking pictures of this little house. Somebody said they saw it here on television in America. They couldn't figure it out. Why was this house spared like it was? I tell you why. Because there's a name, Jesus, that is all powerful. I don't know what you're dealing with this morning, but I want to tell you upon the authority of the Word of God. You may have a tsunami going on in your life or in your home. I declare unto you that there's enough power in the name of Jesus to stop a tsunami. The little boy that looked up at me in a village called Songer, he was a cripple. He couldn't walk. I preached in that place, and I had made this statement. When Jesus comes to your village, if you're sick, he will heal you. He will make you well. Now this little boy is reminding me, he said, "You said, preacher, that when Jesus comes to my village, I would be healed." He said, "I'm a cripple. And so I'm just waiting on Jesus to come," he said. He's sitting out there about 11 o'clock at night all by himself in that compound where we had service. "I'm waiting on Jesus to come, because when Jesus comes, he's going to heal me. He's a cripple. His left leg is twisted. He showed me a stick that he used to walk into the service on. I finally got enough courage, Pastor, to tell him, well, Jesus is here. You don't see him, but his spirit is here. And so I knelt down on the ground beside him, and I reached my hand out, and I wrapped it around that crippled leg, and I began to pray a simple prayer. Jesus, you see the faith of this little boy? He believes that right now you're going to come by here, and you're going to heal his crippled leg. And while I was praying that simple prayer, I began to feel movement in that leg. As that leg began to straighten out, the little boy stood up. He began to shout, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Simple faith. This is what we're talking. This is what the pastor was speaking about this morning. Simple, childlike faith. Simply believing the word of God. If Jesus said it, it is true. It is true. We had been in Pakistan only about a year and a half. Some of you, if you came into the lobby area, probably saw our banner. There's a little boy there that's laying on a bed in a hospital. That little boy is my son. I was at the church, and we were in the middle of a conference, and in fact, I was standing in the pulpit, and I was teaching when a man rushed into the building, and he came straight to where I stood, and he said, sir, your little boy has fallen off the roof of your house, and he's very serious. They've taken him to the hospital. I ran out of the building, jumped in my van, rushed over to the hospital, ran into the emergency room. And there was my little five-year-old son, my only son, laying there gasping for breath. This was in 1975. Pakistan is a very remote area of the world. And at that particular time, there was little or no medical help whatsoever. I remember as I looked at my little boy, but now his head is twice the normal size. He is unconscious. He's gasping for breath. Here we are 10,000 miles away and no help. But there's a God in heaven. The doctor, I knew him personally, Dr. Iqbal, he looked at me, put his hand on my shoulder. He said, Don, I've got to tell you, this is hopeless. He has massive brain injury. I said, well, I'll get him back to the United States. We'll get him into a good hospital. He'll be all right. And that doctor looked at me right in the eye, and he said, I'm telling you, Don, you'll never get your son out of this airport alive. His brain was literally coming out through his left ear. It was a totally, totally hopeless situation. I tried to get a call through to our office in St. Louis, and I tried for 3 days. I could not get a call through. This was before internet. This was before cell phones. There was no way to get any word through to the United States. Our people in Pakistan, the wonderful church there in Lahore, those people went to prayer. They were on the front lawn of the hospital. They were out there. We could hear them praying. They were praying night and day, night and day. They were praying and asking God to spare the life of my son. But on the third day, all hope was gone. There was no pulse and there was no breath. My wife ran out of the room screaming and saying, I cannot stand to see my son die. I picked my little boy up in my arms. And I believed that he had already passed away. I fell down on my knees. I was holding my son in my arms. And I was crying, Jesus, help us, Jesus. There was about 50, 60, maybe more than that, people just standing around, watching in that hospital ward. I cried out to God. I said, God, I know you can heal my son. I've seen you open blinded eyes, and I've seen you make crippled people walk, and I've seen you do all kinds of miracles. And now, God, it's my turn. I need a miracle, and I need it now. And when I prayed that simple prayer, I felt somebody tap me on my shoulder, and I looked up, and there was a man that was standing right there behind me. He didn't say much. I did not know him. I'm thinking in my mind he's a minister, but I did not know him. He did not tell me his name. He didn't say much at all. In fact, the only thing he said was, "Sir." Put his hand up kind of like this. He said, "Sir, God has sent me to pray for your son." That's all he said. He reached his hand out, laid it on the forehead of my little boy, and started to pray. And when that man prayed, my son opened his eyes and began to speak. He said, "Daddy, I'm sorry I climbed up on the roof." As the first thing out of his mouth. I guess he thought he was in trouble. "I'm sorry I climbed up on the roof." He is known in Pakistan as the Miracle Boy. Television networks from 21 Muslim countries put him on national television. He's a miracle boy. He's a miracle boy. That was some time ago. If we could have those pictures. There he is when he was in the hospital. Brother Sism took that picture. Next picture, please. There he is, standing there with his wife and three sons. He pastors a church in Jacksonville, North Carolina. He's having a revival. I talked to him this morning. Everything is good, man. He's fine. His sister thinks he's a little bit weird, but other than that, he's okay. He's normal. If he walked in here right now, you would never know that he ever had an accident. The doctors are amazed. The doctors here in America, they are amazed. They're amazed. What a great miracle. What a great miracle. Would you lift your hands together right now? Come on, let's talk to the Lord. By the power and by the authority of the Word of God. By the power and the authority of the Word of God. By the power and the authority of the name of Jesus, receive your miracle. How many need a miracle right now? Raise your hand. Raise both hands. Put them high in the air. Shout Jesus, will you do that? Jesus. Come on, shout. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening right now. It's happening right now. It shall be done. It shall be done according to the Word of God. I've asked Brother Schumacher this morning if it would be all right for us to have an old-fashioned prayer line. We used to do this all the time when I was growing up. Some of our young preachers, Pastor, they don't even know what that means, a prayer line. If Brother and Sister Schumacher, my wife, the ministers of this church, whoever Brother the pastor would ask to join him. We'd like some of the brethren to come, Pastor, if you would come. We're going to ask the men if they would stand facing the audience. And there you go. And then Sister on the other side, my wife. And Brother Schumacher, if you could just have a few other brethren come to What we're going to do here, this is not going to take a long time, all right? So, but we have done this in several of our services, and this really, really does work. People are healed. We've had people get the Holy Ghost as they go through this prayer line. We've had backsliders return, prodigals return. People getting refilled with the Holy Ghost. People coming out of this prayer line, going to the baptismal tank to get baptized. We've seen tremendous, tremendous miracles. Praise God. Amen. If we could have just a few more ladies, prayer warriors. We need some prayer warriors, all right? People that know how to pray. And if you need a miracle, doesn't matter what kind of miracle, just if you need a miracle, we want you to come through this line. And we're asking everybody to come from my left, your right, all right? We have to come from one direction. Just line up, and when you come into this prayer line, lift your hands, begin to worship. Just begin to worship. And these brethren, these sisters, are going to lay hands on you. Just keep moving, all right? Just keep moving. I believe that when you get down to the end of this prayer line, as you come out here, I want you to lift both hands up and begin to thank the Lord. Thank Him for the miracle. Thank Him for healing. You say, well, I'm not sure if I got healed or not. Thank Him. That's faith. By faith, you're thanking Him. Worship Him. Praise God. All those that said they need a miracle, come on. Come on, it's time to come. It's miracle time. I say it's miracle time. Jesus Christ is here to do great things. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just keep moving, if you will. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Just keep moving. That's it. Slowly, slowly move. As hands reach out and touch you right now, in the name of Jesus, lift your hands. Lift your hands and begin to thank Him. Praise Him. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, that's it. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, it shall be done. It shall be done, it shall be done. Ikatalabashalabakaya, iandolayabuyanda, shitalabashalabakayalabayanda, uriandalayabashaya, that's it. It's happening. Miracles are taking place. Hallelujah. That's it. Lift your hands and praise Him. Worship Him. Hallelujah. Brother, just move down. That's it. Hallelujah. 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 Yes.